Wow. Give to you. And everybody said, wow. That's a great, great, great challenge for all of us in relationship to God. Certainly that is right along with the aspect of what we want to share today. You know, Jerry Paul was with us, and Jerry really appreciated that time frame and aspects of it. And it just says, brothers, wow. That's why I got that one. Wow. He said, my mouth did drop open when I saw the amount of the honorarium you gave me for the Path to Production praying seminar. Your greatly generosity and kindness is deeply appreciated. Your generosity and kindness is deeply appreciated. Special blessing to us as we are currently facing some very large medical expenses. Thank you, thank you, thank you. It was a joy to spend a day with you and get better acquainted with your ministry in Grand Ledge. I attended to a comment in one of the sessions on an aspect I heard about your congregation, that instead of using your building fund for your own congregation, you chose to help build church buildings on mission fields in India and Mexico and etc. I commend you for your vision for Christ and his church. You will be blessed by him for your act of sacrificial love. Once again, thank you for your acts of loving kindness, both to me, to the congregation to whom you sent those funds that they could build those buildings. I thank you on behalf of them. That's Jerry. I get emails from Jerry, and he has what they call a smile. Jerry went about a little girl that was taking some other little girls through a tour through the house. Went to her bedroom door and said, this is my bedroom. Opened the door a little bit and said, my bedroom is clean. Went on down the road and told her, this is my brother's bedroom. I won't open the door because his bedroom is dirty. Went to the next bedroom door, and that's where my mommy and daddy sleep, and they have all their stuff in there. So she led him into the bathroom, and as they're standing in the bathroom, she pointed down to the scale, and she said, and that's where my mommy measures her feet every morning. I suppose that there is a way in which you and I could talk about what the greatest need there is in the body of Christ today. We'd all come up with a diversity of answers. And we'll measure one thing against the other. We'd have a difficulty maybe coming to a very clear conclusion that this is what is needed today in the body of Christ. I'm sure some might reply, the church needs to have more members, more people in the body of Christ, more saved people, if you will. And then someone might say, well, what we really need is more committed Christians, more committed members, etc. And then others might say in reply, we need a little better organization in the relationship to the body of Christ. Or some people might say, well, we need more devotion, better devotion to God, etc. Many could reply, we need better buildings. And we could reply, we need better lives. We could say, some might say, more money, more stewardship, more this and more than that, etc. But I think there is one word that would cover the spectrum of everything that we're talking about today. And that one word is what we're going to focus on this morning with you. And the word is consecration. Consecration. You know of King Kong, the big giant gorilla, and his little trainer, the little gal. Remember how he picks her up in his hand and holds her in his hand? And there she is, that little tiny thing in measurement, if you would measure her to how big he is, you know. Mammon, the Bible says that we look like grasshoppers in the eyes of God. You know that, don't you? Well, the word consecration out of the Hebrew means to fill the hand. To fill the hand. Are you filling God's hands with your life? Is God's hand filled with you? Is he the one holding you up? You know, he is bigger than you are. He is the creator of the universe. So as we think about the Hebrew word in itself to fill the hand, I guess the question would be, is God's hand filled with your life and my life this morning and with us as individuals? Because you're the one who chooses whether or not to put your life in the hand of God, right? And allow him, as it would be, by the power that he has as a great creator to hold you up and to make you and to create you and to save you, etc., as far as that is concerned. But the ultimate aspect, as we look at 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter this morning, and Paul constantly uses other churches or individuals as an example. He uses himself as an example. In this occasion, he uses the church at Macedonia. Now, church at Macedonia was poor. It was not an area where there was ships and wealth and whatever distributing like it was in Corinth. Corinth was a wealthy city. Corinth was a center of idolatry and temples and worship of Artemis and Diana, etc. And so when you think of comparing Macedonia to Corinth and him using this church, the churches of Macedonia like Berea and others, they're poor, poverty-stricken, if you will. And yet he finds them as an example, if he will, to show to them that the church at Corinth needs to measure up to them. Measure up to what they have done and what they have already accomplished in relationship to their giving towards the to the need of God in Judea and the church that was going through many, many financial issues there as far as that is concerned. So as we look at it, you're going to see very clearly that the brethren, as they were there, he says, I want to make something known to you. Now, what he wanted to make known is not necessarily what the Macedonians did, but what God did, what God gave them the ability to do, in that he manifested to the churches at Macedonia his grace. Grace applies more than just being saved by grace. Grace is that anything and everything that is needed to accomplish God's will in this life, it is by the grace of God he supplies it. He supplies by his grace everything for God's people to accomplish his purpose. And if it is nothing that you'll hear today, probably what is needed more than anything else in our lives is for God to be able to manifest his grace fully, completely in the lives of each of us as individuals. That would impact what happens here at Grand Ledge. Whether people are one to Christ, whether the church grows, whether we have more people who are committed and devotional life to the Lord, I believe everything would take place in relationship to how consecrated we are as individuals at placing our hands in the hand of God, God himself. So he says, I'm going to make this known to you, the grace which has been given, if you will, to the churches in Macedonia. And then he goes on, in greater deal of affliction, they were being persecuted, they were in trial, they were in situations where, they were under great stress, the churches there were, but yet, if it was the abundance of joy that flew from that region, from that area, because there was a collection being taken. Remember back in 1 Corinthians 16, Paul said to them that on the first day of the week, let every one of you lay in store as God has prospered you, so that when I come, there be no tarrying. The money needed to get back to Judea, where Christians were suffering. And so there's appealing to the churches to give to that cause, to that point of giving. They themselves then did and was receiving it. And I tell you, I commend you for the joy that you had in giving the money you did to India and to these other needs. And how 100% voted, let's do it. Let's do it. We're not a rich congregation, you know that, don't you? But isn't it amazing how God has graced us with the opportunity to bless others? You see, grace not only gives us the ability, grace is the opportunity. And God gives us that opportunity to prove to us the aspect of overflowing. And so what they did, they overflowed, if you will, in the wealth of their liberality. In other words, he says, I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave of their own accord. They did it voluntarily. And of course, that is what God wants, isn't it? He doesn't want us to give out of compulsion or because we have to. They voluntarily of themselves wanted to have the opportunity to be involved in meeting that need And that need was so great that they were moved with joy, moved to the point that they were willing to give way beyond what they were able to give. Beyond their ability, it says, to give. In other words, I think Paul is saying, man, I was really surprised. I never thought about the fact. I just never dreamed that they would be able to give as much as they did. But they did, and they did it of their own accord. They did it joyfully. They did it and gave liberally in response to that. But, he goes on, this, not as we had expected. Not as we had expected. Now, who in the world would expect that a congregation like Grand Lake Church of Christ would be able to send $60,000 over to Wakefield's ministry? Who would think that this congregation would be able to send $30,000 to Mexico? And at this point in time, from my understanding, three church buildings have now been built as an extension of that money that we gave. I mean, who would have thought that you and I, together as a body, could have sent $40,000 to the India missions to build the wall around their hospital and their nursing homes? I mean, who would have thought? I've got to believe Jerry Paul was overwhelmed when he heard that we had done that. He really was. He really was. And I wish he could have shared it, the tears that he had in his eyes when he shared it with me, when he heard and had come to that realization what you as a people had voluntarily done of your own accord. Beyond our ability, we gave aspects of that. But consecration. Notice what he says. They gave far beyond what our expectation was because they first gave themselves. They first gave themselves. I mean, they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us. They were just more beyond the aspect of giving. It was the fact that they, and the result of their giving was actually an expression of the fact of what they had done. They had consecrated themselves, put their hands and filled God's hands with their liberality and with their love and with their joy and with their willingness to be able to bless the people in Judea. They were completely consecrated to that offering, the giving of it, sacrificially, if you will. They were gone beyond their ability, and they gave and gave and gave. And I'm sure that if you and I came to a realization, and if we could talk to them, they gave because they had truly come to understand the fullness of how much and how they had experienced the grace and the love of God. And being that they had known God's love and grace, they could not help but want to share that same love, that same grace, given not because they deserved it in Judea, because it was themselves. It was who they were. They could not help but give because they had first given themselves to the Lord. They had consecrated them, God. And I know I quote this verse, but let us remind ourselves that there is nothing more important. God does not delight in offering, blood offering. What God delights in is obedience, sacrifice. If it's not a sacrifice of our lives, then how do you think God sees it? It was through the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross that God received him and accepted him, wasn't it? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. For this is our reasonable, this is our service of worship. Worshiping God is getting our life into the hand of God, sacrificially willing to pay whatever price, with our money, with our talent, with our abilities, and whatever God graces us with to do and accomplish his will and his purpose. If you'll note, they gave themselves first to the Lord, then to us, and to the will of God. That's what it says, doesn't it? Not as we had expected. They first gave themselves to the Lord, to us, by the will of God. By the will of God. We're going to go there. Hebrews 13:15. Hebrews 13:15. Through him, that's Christ, let us continually offer up a sacrifice. A sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks to God. The aspects of that is ultimately fulfilling within the person's life. You see, the more grateful, the more thankful you are for God and His love, I would think the more willing you would be to put your life in His hand. That makes sense. It makes sense. To do what? To do His will. To do His will. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20. Paul writes to the church at Corinth and says, "For you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body." You have been bought with a price. What does that mean? You've been purchased. You don't belong to yourselves anymore. That means your life has been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. You now belong to God. That means that you're in His hand, and He is going to use you to whatever His purpose might be, to His glory. And you're consecrated to allow Him to do that. You're committed to allowing Him to do that. You're wanting God to do that. You're desiring that. And you will sacrifice anything and everything in order for God to be able to complete and accomplish His will in your life. You see, consecration is a voluntary offering of your life and my life to God. They gave. They gave. God will not cross the threshold of your will. He made us to be free will beings. If you're going to put your hand in the hand of God, then it's your will, your choice. You're going to make that decision. Because God isn't going to force you to do it. God will do everything He can to encourage you to do it, to show to you what He will and how He will indeed lift you up and bless you and encourage you and strengthen you and make you to become more than what you ever dreamed you could become in this earthly, fleshly life that we have. But you will have to voluntarily do it. Whosoever will may come. Right? Whosoever will. So they did it. And they did it under and as voluntarily free will beings. In chapter 9 of 2 Corinthians, verse 7, it says, each as they purposed in their hearts. In other words, everything and anything we do is in the accomplishment of the will of God. Somehow or other, it is purposed, it is reasoned, it is thought about, it is committed to, it is consecrated to within our hearts. Because that's where we are. We are loving God with our whole being, our heart, our soul, our mind, our strength. We're to love the Lord our God with that all that aspect. And if we do that, it seems logical, then as a result of that, being consecrated to that, we would see ourselves in the hand of God. I don't know how any of you or me can live in this world and be able to say, you know, oh, wait a minute, I'm not going to be anxious for anything because God's got me in His hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God, accompanied with thanksgiving, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I don't suppose any of us here need that, right? Peter says, cast all your anxieties upon Him because He cares for you. Don't you think He wants to hold you up? Don't you think there's anything that God desires any more than have my life in His hand so that He can accomplish His will, His purpose? You know, the Corinthian letter, Paul writes about the mold, the individual that takes us into His hands, he molds us and so on, and the one being molded, don't argue with the one doing the molding. Say, I don't want to be like that. Don't make me like that. No, don't do that in my life. No, we just surrender. We consecrate ourselves to the hand of the molder, right? For Him to mold our lives, shape us, form us. Well, I know what He's doing, don't you? He's shaping and forming us into the image of His Son. Isn't that what the Bible teaches? And you and I need to be consecrated to God to allow Him to form, shape, transform us into the likeness of His Son. That's your commitment. That's my commitment. That's my consecration to God. And so he says they gave themselves to the Lord. They made a complete, total consecration of themselves. And they gave that life, their lives to the Lord. Jesus said, are you either for me or against me? You know, some people just seem to want to have one foot in the world, one foot in the kingdom, and want to do and believe that somehow you can serve this one and still be able to serve this one. And God says, no. No, that is impossible. Either you put your life completely in my hands or else, right? Total, complete commitment to God's will. They filled God's hand, and they filled it up because they were consecrated to it. And if you and me are going to do what God desires, then again, let's remind ourselves of my past sermon. Because Romans 6:16 says this, do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone or something, to that you become a slave, right? Remember that? Now, I guarantee you that every one of us here this morning, I don't care who you are, you've committed yourself to someone or something and whatever, and you have become a slave to that, whatever it is. If you haven't, you will. You will. But I guarantee you, all of us have, to some degree, given ourselves, presented ourselves to something or someone. God's word is that we are to commit ourselves to Him for the goal of obedience. For whatever we commit ourselves to, we obey, and the aspect of obeying God is to obey and to do that which is right in the eyes of God. So the question isn't, will we? The question is, what have we actually presented ourselves to? Because today, I guess all of us, I think when we come around this Lord's table, aren't we reminded of the one and the commitment that this one made? Was he consecrated to the will of God? Did he not say that I came not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me? Didn't Jesus put his hand in the hand of his Father when he went to garden and said, not my will, but thine be done? Wasn't he committing himself totally into the hand of his Father and believing and trusting him? Isn't that exactly what he did as an example to all of us? So you and I are making choices today as God's people in consecrating our lives. We got to be honest with ourselves, you see. All for Jesus, all for Jesus. All my being, ransom power. All my thoughts and words and doing. All my days and all my hours. Let my hands perform his bidding. Let my feet run in his will. Let my eyes see only Jesus. Let my lips speak forth his praise. All for Jesus. Did he not give it all for you? Isn't that what he did? Voluntarily? He gave himself, put himself totally and completely in the hands of God. So, yeah, it is a voluntary commitment to God, to the Lord, put our lives in his hand. But it also is a voluntary commitment to, he says, and to us. It's a consecrated commitment to the body of Christ. Paul writes and uses his life as an example in Acts 20:35, where Paul says, as it is, he states how he worked hard with his own hand so that he could meet the needs of others and the weak. Then he quoted God's word, or the Lord himself, and said, it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. Now, if you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8, it goes on here and talks about this whole aspects that each of us has to give as we purpose in our heart. Not grudgingly or under compulsion or whatever, but God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you so that always having sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. Otherwise, God's grace is not only is he promising to take care of what your needs are, God wants to bless you in such a way that you will have more than what you need so you can take more than that element and give it to meeting the needs of others. Remember the guy who wanted to build these bigger barns? Because he had, you know. And then God says to him, okay, so that's what you're going to do. But today your soul is going to be required of you. Now, who's going to be the recipients of all? You know how many people work their bones off building their bigger barns only to die and never, ever, ever have an opportunity to see the benefit of it, the personally. And families become split and never speak to one another because they fight over what grandpa, grandma, or mama, dad left to them. I've experienced that more times than you would ever think. I don't think God's interested in us building our bigger barns. I think God is interested in blessing a people who he knows in their heart that if he blesses them with beyond what they need, that God knows they're going to invest it back into his hands to be used to be a blessing to someone else. It says to me that God is able to do that. Is that what it says to you? He's able to do that. It says, if he that scattereth abroad, he gave to the poor, his righteousness endures ever. God's righteousness endures by his desire to feed the poor. The poor will always be with us, right? Aspects of that. Now, he who supplies seed to the sower, bread for the food, will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. God wants to use the body of Christ. If they just put themselves in his hand, he can bless us far beyond what we need as individuals, as families, etc., so that we could have more than what we need to help and take care of other people. Pure religion, undefiled before God, is a visit to widows and orphans and keep oneself unspotted. The word visit there means meet the needs of them. They didn't go and call them, making a call, okay? So the aspects of that is you and I need to see how God really wants us to put our hands in the hands of the man from Galilee. You remember that song? Fill up his hand with your life. That means everything. Total, consecrated commitment to the will of God. And to the meeting of the needs of God's people, right? Whatever they might be. That was our Lord's testimony. That is his life. That's what he left for us. But he also warned us, and he said these words in Matthew 7:21. Matthew 7:21, Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter." Are you committed to the will of God? Is your hand, his hand, filled with your will? "Here am I, Lord. Use me. Make me. Glorify yourself through me. Accomplish your will in my life, Lord. I give it to you. Voluntarily, I give it to you." Because you see, Jesus was not just an aspect of consecration to God, his Father, and accomplishing the will of God and surrendering to the will of God. He was also consecrated to every one of us here today. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, same chapter, look at verse 9. Chapter 8, verse 9, Paul writes, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that through his poverty you might become rich." Wow. He wasn't just consecrated to do the will of God. He was consecrated to you and me. He gave his life in every aspect of his being. He came here for one reason. Yes, to do the will of God, but he also came here to give his life for you and me. Why would you not want to show him your love and your willingness to put your hand in God's hands, fill his hand with your life, your talent, your ability, with your lips, with your heart, with your pocketbook, whatever? I believe consecration would take care of a lot of things. If we were all just totally committed to God's will, amen? Totally committed sacrificially to the will of God. How rich? How rich? God didn't promise he'd make us rich. He did promise that if you seek the kingdom, all the things of this life would be added to you, right? He also promises that no matter what, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of yourself. The foxes have holes, the birds have nests. How much more will he take care of you, O ye of little faith? Isn't that what he said? But I think God is more interested in not just supplying my needs and yours. He's blessed us beyond. And God has given us the opportunity by his grace to take what he blesses us and invest it, if you will, in the kingdom of God. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. You see, that's the greatest investment you can make. Are you consecrated to that? Because there's an inheritance waiting for you. You know that? An internal inheritance waiting up there that God's promised you and me. Not down here or up there. It's reserved. It's there. It's imperishable. It's waiting for you. If God was willing to send his son, Paul said to the Roman, then how much more is he willing to give us everything else? God is wanting to bless his people. Why? So that those who are non-believers would see his blessings coming upon us, so they'd want to know the God that is you put your hand in. Fill his hand up with your life and mine. I guarantee you, the light that God would generate through us could make a big difference in any in your neighbor's life, in other people's lives, by them. But make sure you give to God the sacrifice of praise. You thank him. What is the will of God? 1 Thessalonians 5 is that we be a grateful people. Amen? That we be thankful. That we be thankful. Thank you, Jerry, for those encouraging words that he gave us. Amen? I pray that you put your hand in God's hands and that you're spending a lot more consecrated time in prayer. Because, brother, that's where the victory's won. The victory's won on your knees. Because I believe hell quivers when God's people pray. Why? Because God responds, does he not? The prayers of faith, he'll answer them, won't he? We have a need here. We need more people, right? We need to be consecrated to that. Yeah, we could use our own building. That would be grateful and that would be helpful, wouldn't it? Have we not prayed about that? Have we not looked? Have we not done whatever? Yeah, we have. Yeah, we have. And yet, by the grace of God, he's given us opportunities to extend ourselves beyond it, because every soul that's being won to India is going on our account. You do know that, don't you? Huh? Yeah? God has different ways of using different people, different churches, different people. But God has used us. Believe me, he has. And we should be grateful for that. And grateful that he gave us and graced us with the ability to be able to give that money. Amen? And help those people over there. You know, what was it? 60 orphanage girls, young girls. 100 now. 100. You clothed them. You put food in their mouths. You even gave the enough money that they were able to put a roof over the bathroom units where they go to the bathroom, and that they could shut it in and whatever, and things of that nature. Now, wouldn't it be great to be able to go over there? Huh? Well, someday you're going to, because someday you're going to meet some of those young ladies in heaven. You know what they're going to do? They're going to thank you. They'll thank you for your generosity, your liberality, and for your gift that you voluntarily gave. And thank God for that. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, then believe me, to acknowledge Jesus Christ as the Son of God, to truly repent, turn from your sin, turn from the world, and turn to God is the most important element of your will. You need to repent and bring your will into desiring to do the will of God. The aspects of that is that he calls upon you to show you that element where you're totally consecrated. That baptism is more than just an act. It is a total aspect of the power of God at work in the life of a person, where God puts that person to death, God crucifies that old man, and God puts him. But as I said before, and I'll say it again, a lot of people just got all wet because they never truly repented. They wanted to have the access to God's feet. They had wanted all of this, but they didn't understand the price that had to be paid. There's a price in becoming a Christian. Remember Jesus talked about counting the costs? So I'm encouraging you today, if you're not a Christian, but you really want to be, then let me know, let Dave know, let any of us know, let Virg know. We'd be more than happy to sit down, talk, teach, show you. But if you're struggling and you haven't really given your life to God the way you know you should have, then you need our prayers. You need our encouragement. We're here to help one another, are we not? We're not just consecrated to put my hand in God's and my life in God's hands. I want to be and consecrate myself to put my hand in your hand and lift you up. Shall we stand? You'll sing our invitation, and then we'll have closing prayer together. If you're here and need that, come.